y'all doing today? It's a good day. Amen. It is a good day. It's a great day. Right? It's a great day. This is the best day of your life. Why? Because this is the only day you have right now. Yesterday's already gone. Tomorrow hasn't come. So today is the only day you have. So this is the best day of your life. Do you imagine that if we lived like that, we would see life differently? Every day is the best day of your life. Yes. Just a mentality change changes everything. No matter what happens, no matter what happens, this is the best day of your life. Tomorrow will be different. The Bible tells us straight out, don't worry about tomorrow because it'll have enough worries of its own. So why worry about tomorrow? Today. But don't worry about today because today is the best day of your life. This is the day the Lord has made. I will choose to rejoice and be glad in it. Amen? So last week we looked at how we come to know who we are, and it's because of the revelation of Jesus Christ. In fact, 1 John 3:2 says, when he is revealed, we will see him as he is. And then we move on to chapter 4, verse 17 in that, and it says, and we will be like him in this world, just as he is. And when we come to realize that it's our revelation of who Jesus Christ is, which comes from where? From the Word of God. It's the only place it comes. Now, it's the Holy Spirit who works through that, but it's through that that we have our revelation of who Jesus Christ is. And every time we have a revelation of Jesus Christ, we need to make sure it lines up with the Word. And when it lines up with the Word, then it starts to change us and transform us. When he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And as he is revealed to us, so are we in this world. But how does it happen? That's a big thing. We can talk about it all the time, but I wanted you to turn in 2 Corinthians. Just go to the first chapter because that's where we're going to start. And we're going to end 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And we will eventually get to chapter 4 today, but it's not going to take a long time because we're going to skip around. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, I'm going to read from 21 to 24. Says, now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Moreover, I call God as witness against my soul, that to spare you I came no more to Corinth. Not that we have dominion over your faith, but are fellow workers for your joy. For by faith you stand. Father, help us to recognize your place in our hearts. And help us to have faith in you. Verse 21 there says that we are established by God. He who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God. And he has sealed us. And he's given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. But what does that mean for each of us? And I think it honestly means something different for each of us. This says in verse 21, not that we have dominion over your faith. So what that is saying is that I don't have any control over your faith. I can only teach you from the Word, what I see in the Word, from my faith, but my faith doesn't have anything to do with your faith. and your faith has nothing to do with my faith. I cannot lord over you, have dominion over your faith. But then the next phrase says, for by faith you stand. So, if I have no control over your faith, who has the control over your faith? You do. It is you who has the faith to stand. It is up to you to discover who Jesus Christ is in you. It is up to you to look into the mirror of Christ, the Bible, and to remove a veil. So let's move from 2 Corinthians chapter 1 to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And I want to read to you from 12 to 18. It says, therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. But their minds were blinded, for until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, one thing I want to make mention to you is where it says that when the Old Testament is read, that word testament should actually say covenant. Because it's confusing to us. Back in the day that Corinthians was written, there was no Old Testament and New Testament. There was the Scriptures, which was what we call the Old Testament. But not everything in the Old Testament is the Old Covenant. Not everything in the New Testament is the New Covenant. There are things within the New Testament that relate to the Old Covenant, but there are things in the Old Testament that relate to the New Testament, New Covenant. So when it says the Old Testament there, it's referring to the Old Covenant, what was under the law. And so when the Old Covenant was read, that's when the veil is there. Because Christ is the epitome of the New Covenant. And it does say here in verse 13, it says, Moses put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. What does that mean? So as you know with me, I see something in the Scripture like that, and I'm like, what does that mean? Then I go to the Scriptures and I figure out what it means. This is referring to Exodus chapter 33, where Moses asks God to show his face. And Moses is not allowed to see the face. Now, we're going to get into that a little bit later. We are going to read that whole story. And Moses saw the glory of God from the back. He saw the backside of God. He saw the backside of the glory of God, because God said, you cannot see my face. Now, then, I can go into that. It's a huge story. I think I've preached on it before. It doesn't really make sense, because it says that Moses talked to God face to face. So he did see the face of God. But this is talking about the glory of God. The glory of God. The face of the glory of God. Moses couldn't see because he was under the old covenant. He was under that old covenant. And he needed to see. He wanted to technically see the new covenant. But he couldn't. Again, we'll get into that a little bit later. Moses saw the glory of God, but from the back. When he did see that glory, it caused his face to shine to such a degree that he had to have a veil on his face because the Israelites could not look at him. And so when he came to talk with them, he put a veil over his face, and then he would go to talk to God and he would take the veil off. Then he would go to talk to the Israelites and he would put the veil back on. And so that's what this is referring to, is Moses taking that whole thing about having the veil. But now through Christ, the veil is removed. And we can see the face of the glory of God because the veil is now gone. Now verse 18 talks to it saying that we look into this mirror. So we look into where Jesus Christ is, we look into that mirror, and we are transformed into that very image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So we're transformed. How many of you know that transformation can be difficult? Remember last week we talked about 1 Peter 1:13, and it says, "Gird up your loins." Well, in this day and age, gird up your loins means absolutely nothing. What it meant is, prepare for something difficult. What are we preparing for? We're preparing for transformation. We're looking at transforming ourselves into the very image of Christ. And it can be a difficult thing. So you look at a caterpillar. So this word transformation is taken from the Greek, from metamorpho, which metamorpho means metamorphosis, change, transformation. It's only used, if I remember correctly, just one other time in the Bible. Two times in the Bible. Two other times. So it's referred to in Romans chapter 12, where it says, I transform my mind. But it's also used at the transfiguration of Christ. He was transformed. He was transfigured. He was changed. He went through a metamorphosis and was had a new image at that moment. So you look at a caterpillar, the metamorphosis that it goes through. If a caterpillar could think and process, would it choose the chrysalis? Would it choose to go through that? Would the butterfly long to be a caterpillar again? Would the butterfly even relate at all with the caterpillar? Would it say these words? I'm just a caterpillar, changed by the chrysalis. No. He's a butterfly. He doesn't have any recollection of being a caterpillar. He doesn't have any desire. He probably flies around and sees one down there and says, "What is that thing?" Because he's been transformed. The very nature of the caterpillar was changed. It is no longer a caterpillar. It is a butterfly. The metamorphosis, the transformation was difficult, but it also was complete. And it was of God, because God created it to happen that way. Same thing with your transformation. You were a sinner. You are a child of God. The transformation in the Spirit is complete. How many of you know that you are complete in Christ? You are filled with Him completely. Your spirit is complete. But how many of you also know that your mind and your body haven't caught up yet? That's really what it is. Your spirit is complete in Him. But your mind and your body haven't caught up to your spirit yet. There is a battle, and it causes it to be difficult. The flesh battles against the spirit. If you want to, read Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17, and you will see that. So you were a sinner. You are a child of God. Your transformation in the spirit is complete. And best of all, it is an act of God. The new creation. Guess what? That's how He created you to be. The old things are what? They're passed away. The new has come. And if you read further in that those passages, it also says, reckon yourself dead to the fleshly desires, to sin. So the big thing here, the caterpillar had no choice. He went through nature. You have a choice. You have a choice to be changed, to be transformed. And it can be difficult. This isn't just for salvation either. This is for the process that's for any revelation of Christ. When He is revealed, we shall be like Him because we will see Him as He is. But as He is, as we see Him, so are we in this world. This world. This world. So let us continue in 2 Corinthians. I'm going to read again 3:16 and then continue on into chapter 4. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Verse 1 says, we have this ministry. So what is that ministry? What is this ministry? Well, there's this wonderful word at the beginning of 4:1 that says therefore. What do we do with therefore? We find out what therefore is there for. What is this ministry? It's unveiling the mystery of the mirror. The Word of God. That as we look into that mirror, we are being transformed into the very image of Christ. And so the ministry is unveiling that mystery. It's showing Christ, even in the Old Testament, what it means, how it's pointing towards Christ, so that we can see Christ in it and have the veil removed. Verse 2 says, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. We manifest the truth. That's what this revealing is. Manifesting. Another word for that is revealing. Where is that revelation? The revelation of Christ. And so we preach the Bible. We preach the Bible. We don't handle the Word of God deceitfully, but by revelation of the truth, by manifestation of the truth. Manifestation also is something that is made real. So we look into the Word of God. We find the truth and we reveal it. Verse 3. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. If there is a veil, it is because of the enemy, the devil. He wants you to continue to be veiled. He wants that veil set there so that you don't come to reality in the complete form of Christ, the complete image of Christ. He wants you to remain with that veil. And so when we have these things revealed to us and the veil is removed, sometimes the enemy comes in and tries to deceive us and say, that's not true. There's no way that is. That's not the way you've thought before. That's not the way that it's been done before. But if it's been revealed to you as truth, you need to act on it. He wants you to continue veiled so that the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, will not shine and transform you. The light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. We just read that we would be transformed into the same image from glory to glory. And you look down further in chapter 4, verse 6, and it says, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So this veil is there. The enemy wants it there so that we do not see the glory of the face of Jesus Christ. And we don't have it revealed to us what that means to this world or what it can mean to this world. And so if we all of a sudden have this veil, then we won't act on what we see. So we need to pray that that veil continually gets removed. The devil does not want Christians to walk in the fullness as sons of God. He wants us to be content and not make a big difference in this world. He's wanting you to be content. It's fine the way it is. Which is fine. But it's not. Because that's not the true plan of God. It says I think it's in 1 Corinthians. It talks about the fact that we have all this stubble and that, or the things that we build upon, the foundation. We build upon it, and it's wood, and it's gold, and it's silver, and all these different things. And then it goes through the fire, and it's refined. And even if everything is burnt away, it's like you still get in by the skin of your teeth. That's the literal translation. But that's not his plan. His plan is for us to walk in the fullness of God, in the fullness of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He wants us to be content. He wants us to remain defeated. But I, for one, will not remain defeated. I am going to search through these scriptures and find the truths of the problems I'm going through, and I will reveal them as they're revealed to me, and then I'm going to continue on. But the sad thing is, I don't have any control over your faith. I can't control you to accept it. I just have to keep pressing on. Keep on keeping on. Paul even says that. He says, we forget the past and what lies behind, but we press forward to the prize. We press forward. So when the thing is revealed, I need to press forward for that revelation to be manifested. And it's more than just, I did my devotions today, I'm done. Now I go around my regular world. No, take those devotions and meditate on it throughout the day, throughout the night, and in the morning go for something new. But I'm guilty of it too, that I read the devotion, then I go about my day. No. Meditate on the word. And then you will be successful. That's what it says to Joshua. Verse 5. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. I've already said that. I will continue to preach Jesus Christ the Lord. The things that he reveals. And as they are revealed, I will see him as he is. And as I see him as he is, I will be as he is in this world. Verse 6. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You know how hard it is to preach the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ? Knowing that I have no control over you accepting it or not? So, I just continue doing it. I continue doing it. It's the way it has to be. It is His image we see as we look into the Word of God. So now let's turn to Exodus chapter 33. Verses 18 to 23. And Moses said, "Please, show me your glory." And God said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." But he said, "You cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live." And the Lord said, "Here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. So it shall be, while my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen." God's glory, God's face, could not be seen under the old covenant. A veil was needed. In this case, it's God's hand. God's hand was the veil. It really brings to light some of the things that we like to say. We say, "Lord, keep me in the cleft of the rock and cover me there with your hand." You know what you're asking him for? To hide you from his glory. Because that's where it comes from. And that's what's happening here. I don't want to take time and I love that song. It's great musically. But when you actually dig into it and see what it's saying, "Lord, I don't want to see your glory, so cover me with your hand." There are a lot of new songs that I've actually taken out of our repertoire because of what they say in regards to our scriptures. Moses was not allowed to see God's face. And even with the little he saw, when God removed the hand and he saw God's back walking away, the glory was so much that he had to remain, when he talked with the people of Israel, he had to remain with a veil. Let's go to Exodus 34, verses 29 to 35. Now it was so, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, and the two tablets of the testimony were in Moses' hand when he came down from the mountain, that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. So when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. Then Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the rulers of congregation returned to him, and Moses talked with them. Afterward, all the children of Israel came near, and he gave them as commandments all the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take the veil off until he came out. He would come out and speak to the children of Israel whatever he had been commanded. And whenever the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone, then Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with him. Moses needed to keep that veil on because the people could not even see the reflection of the glory of God. And Moses didn't even see the full glory of God. He didn't see the face. But here we are in Exodus, in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6, and it says, "Who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." And Jesus said himself, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." And so when we look at the face of Jesus Christ and the glory that's there, we're seeing God. And that is what we are trying to get to. When we look in the mirror, we see the face of God. And we start to realize that our veil is being removed. Sometimes slowly, yes. Sometimes in big steps. But now through Jesus Christ, we see the glory of God's face. Jesus himself. We look in the mirror, the Word of God, and we see Jesus. We see God's glory. We are able to see what Moses couldn't see. And we are being transformed into that very image. That's what the Scriptures are saying to us today. In verse 7, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us." What treasure do we have? We have the treasure of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And we are the earthen vessels, the jars of clay that carry this treasure around, so that the excellence of the power may be of God and not us. It is not us that we preach. It is Jesus working through us, in us, and for us. That's what we preach. So I encourage you today, make choices. It is you who has the faith to stand. It is up to you to discover who Jesus Christ is to you. It is up to you to look into the mirror of Christ and remove the veils. Choose for yourselves this day. As for me, I choose the veil to be removed. I choose to be transformed by the hand of God, no matter how difficult it is. And there is no power on earth or in hell that's going to stop me. Because God has promised that as I look into His Word, I am transformed into that very image. And I trust that you would take that same initiative and do the same. So Father, thank you for your Word. Thank you, Lord, that you have given us the opportunity to be what you are wanting in this world. Thank you for giving us your Word that we can see what we are to be. And I pray that we will have that fortitude to do so. And Lord, I pray that the Word that is spoken through your Spirit will reach into the hearts and transform us. Because we receive faith by the hearing of God's Word. I encourage you, as Jen plays and sings a little bit here, that you take a moment and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Ask Him, "What are you wanting to say to me today through this Word?" If you need to come up front again, please do. There's nothing special up here. You have the presence of God where you're at as well. But sometimes it takes a step in the physical to affect the natural. So if you want, you can come up here. If you don't, just you can stay where you're at. But Ask that Holy Spirit. Ask Him, what do you want to say to me today? And then be diligent and do what He says. May the evidence, the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ be seen in your life. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you. May He be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. God bless you richly. See you next time.